Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a violent storm came upon the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by waves. But he was asleep. They came and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you terrified, you of little faith?" Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. The men were amazed and said, "What sort of man is this, whom even the wind and the seas obey?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's Gospel is not fundamentally about Jesus' power over the winds and the seas. Neither is it of the disciples' faith in Jesus' ability to calm the wind and the seas, whole reason why they woke him up from a sleep deeper than Sister Mariana Benedictus is precisely because they had trust that he had the power to calm the wind and the seas. What this gospel is all about is about whether they trusted that he cared about whether they were perishing. St. Mark's version of the same scene, when they startled Jesus, who was so tired, they said, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" And that's an attitude we really have to confront in faith, because it's a perennial attitude. The whole reason why Jesus had come into the world was because he did care. Whole reason for the incarnation, as St. Irenaeus would describe, whole reason for his passion, death, and resurrection, whole reason for all the signs that he worked, was to show that he did care, that God so loved the world, that he sent his only Son and gave him so that we might not perish, but have eternal life. He did care. But we're often tempted by the devil when we hit various storms or even things that we don't like to begin to give into doubt about whether God cares. Not about whether he has the power to do something, but whether he has the will. We see it, for example, with the Jews in the desert. 10 plagues. God leads them through the Red Sea. How could anybody forget that? When they're hungry out there and turn to the Lord makes manna each morning, sends down quails for them to kill in the middle of the desert each night, has Moses strike a rock so that they'd be able to get fresh water from a rock, have a column of cloud lead them during the day that turns into fire at night, thunders and speaks from the mountain when Moses is up there. One manifestation after another, not just of God's power, but of God's concern. And what was the response of so many of the Jews? "Were there not enough tombs in Egypt that you brought us out here to die in the desert? Do not care anymore, Lord." God did care, and he does care, and he's always working because of his concern for us. That's why Jesus, when he got on up, before he rebuked the winds and the seas, rebuked the disciples. Imagine the scene, put yourself in the Compositio Locis of St. Ignatius. Massive storm on the seas. water's coming all over the boat. It's rocking back and forth. They are fearful for their lives, and instead of calming the seas and then speaking to the apostles, Jesus wants to show the priority of his concern. So he rebukes them before he rebukes the elements. Why are you terrified, O you of little faith? Not faith in my power, faith in my love. Why are you so terrified? Do you not know that I love you? And then after every rebuked them, he rebuked the storm, and that caused them to great wonder. Again, as men, first they were focused on his power. What sort of man is this, whom even the wind and the seas obey? But it was a sign of the way that God wants to calm the storms within. And he does that first by granting us the extraordinary gift of faith. There's something else that they missed here, though. They missed that God's whole interaction with them had a purpose to it. Just like the Jews had to have recognized that God led them out into the desert, not so that they could die in the desert. There was a real purpose for his interaction with them. So Jesus didn't send them out into the beyond, as we were talking about yesterday, precisely so that that Sea of Galilee could become their burial ground. There's a purpose. And they'd forgotten the purpose. That God willed not only to save them, but to make them part of his plan for the salvation of the world. And that purpose behind God's action is essential for us to see the connection between the gospel and today's first reading, which is a tough first reading, even when it's beautifully proclaimed with an Irish accent. Amos, 8th century, before the kingdom of Israel would be annihilated, was taken from Judah, where he was a shepherd in Tekoa, this mountain about 10 miles south of Jerusalem, and sent up to Israel in order, the kingdom of Israel in the north, in order to proclaim God's word and to remind the Israelites that God had not merely given them a privilege, but that privilege had a purpose, and they had totally forgotten that purpose. The purpose was to be holy as the Lord their God was holy, so that through that holiness, God would be able to proclaim his light to all the nations. But instead, they were reverting to idols and to sin. So Amos says, "Hear this, O children of Israel, what the Lord pronounces over you, over the whole family that I brought up from the land of Egypt. Remember from where I brought you. Remember all that I did. You alone have I favored more than all the families of the world. But to whom more is given, more is to be expected. Therefore I will punish you for all your crimes, not out of vengeance, but so that people might be able to see holiness in you once again, so that you might fulfill your purpose, because you've lost your purpose." And then he gets into a whole bunch of images, all geared in very simple terms to show cause and effect. Do two walk together unless they have agreed? If you see two people walking together, they're on the same page. Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? It's always, one's a sign of the other. Does a young lion cry out from its den unless it seized something? Again, one is a result of the other. Is a bird brought to earth by a snare when there's no lure? Nope, if you see a trapped bird, there was a lure. Does a snare spring up from the ground without catching anything? If a trumpet sounds in the city, it's a sign of war. Will not the people be frightened? And then he concludes it by saying, "Indeed, the Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Therefore, the lion roars, who will not be afraid? The Lord God speaks, who will not prophesy? God has spoken to Amos the prophet. How can he keep his mouth shut, is what he's saying. The very fact that I'm here speaking to you is an effect of the cause that God has first spoken to me. And that's why I'm speaking. And the purpose for which I am speaking is because God is reminding you precisely of the purpose for which he gave you the privilege of all that he has done in the past. Revert to this purpose, and because you won't, he said, because you have not returned to me after I showed you so many signs all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah, I will deal with you in my own way. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. That there was going to be this judgment on their actions, so that be able to know that, cause and effect, sin leads to death. But repentance leads to mercy. It was through the Babylonian captivity, first through the destruction by the king of Assyria of Israel, and then by the Babylonian captivity, that the Israelites and the Jews respectively would realize that our actions have consequences, so that they'd be able to take that light outward. There was a purpose to their election. Similar for us, there's a purpose to our own. What God says to Amos is a concrete sign for all of us, and we're supposed to become that sign for the world. God has indeed spoken, and we're called to live that word and bring that word to others, so that they can see it in us lived, hear it with their credibility open, and begin to obey it, so that they might have life and have it to the full. Today's saint is one who puts into beautiful relief this purpose of God's plan, the importance of faith in God's lovingly fulfilling that plan in us, and the immediacy of the response that it's supposed to have in our life. I know you hung on the words of the second lesson in the Office of Readings this morning, from which we receive St. Irenaeus's most famous expression. Sometimes I'm a little bit disappointed that everything of St. Irenaeus comes down to his one sound bite. He's the first systematic theologian in the history of the church. He's given us so much treasure in battling against the Gnostics of his day. So many arguments that can help us battle against the New Agers, the Neo-Gnostics of our own day. But if there were going to be one soundbite from St. Irenaeus, the one that has been chosen across the centuries, is really quite important. Comes at the end of this lesson, where he says, Gloria Dei vivens homo, et vita hominis visio Dei. That the glory of God, the purpose for our life, the glory of God is man fully alive. And this full life, this life of the human person, is the vision of God. And throughout that reading from his treatise against the heretics of his day, we see that Christ himself was the manifestation of God. And so we see in Jesus the vision of God. Not just that we see God, but in Jesus we begin to have revealed to us the way God sees, so that we can calibrate our own vision to God's own sight. So first we see God in Christ, the whole purpose of the Incarnation. Then second, Jesus himself shows us by his example and by his descriptive words the real, real world, so that our blindness can be cured and we can begin to see the real, real world as well. And that spiritual optometry that Jesus does is through faith, where we begin to see things much differently than we had before. Jesus, when he came into the world, revealed the way things are, using, for example, the natural world to be able to communicate God's truths. The sparrows, the lilies, salt, light. He was conveying to us spiritual realities so that we would be able to see as he sees. He was imparting to us his vision precisely so that we could come fully alive. Fully alive by faith, seeing things as the Son of Man does. Jesus would say during the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." And Jesus was coming to heal us of our sins precisely so that with purity we would be able to see God himself in prayer, loving us and caring for us even in the midst of the storms of our life. So that we would be able to see God speaking to us in his holy word. So that we would be able to see God in others. For whatever we would do to them, we would do to him. So that we would be able to see God ultimately in the Eucharist and through the Holy Eucharist forever in that beatific vision. That is our life. If we're going to fully develop that life, which is the purpose to which God formed us, then it's to look on all of existence with those eyes of faith, and seeing everything that happens to us, both in God's direct will and his permissive will, everything seemingly adverse and propitious, within that divine purpose. God wants us to come fully alive by seeing him in all of these ways, so that we might, in turn for others, become the means by which they too can see God and come fully alive. And that dramatic transformation of vision that leads to our becoming part of that revelation of God to others happens at Mass, in which we enter into communion with the Word made flesh, and he transforms us totally on the inside, including our eyes. So today, even if we might be experiencing storms, the Lord Jesus wants us to realize that he's with us, not just in the boat, but he's with us in our interior. If we've got any fears whatsoever, he wants to strengthen our faith, whispering to us from within, "Why are you terrified? You have little faith. Let me help your faith grow, and I will take away that terror." And then he wants to send us out to bring so many others into the boat of the church with him, where even in the midst of the storm, we will see the sunshine. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.